Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Tesvav, the 15th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu. This is a interesting perek in the sense that I believe that it was mis-separated by, you know, it was not Jewish sources that separated the perakim, the chapters. The first section I think actually belongs at the end of Perek Yud Dalad, and the next section really comes from much earlier time in Yirmiyahu's life. So just to understand this, I believe that Psukim Aleph all the way to Tes really belong at the end of the conversation to be found at the end of Perek Yud Dalad. It's of the same theme and of the same intensity of the conversation had between Yirmiyahu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Bnei Israel, about Israel's being abandoned. And the next part of the chapter seems to take us all the way back to the times where Yirmiyahu is being castigated and terrorized by people in society, which is from a much earlier point in his life. So let's just look at this carefully. The first section, which runs the first from Aleph to Tes, is essentially Hashem's response. And if you recall, the end of Perek Yud Dalad, Yirmiyahu gives this terrifying argument of Ma'os Ma'asta Sihuda. Have you completely been disgusted by the children of Israel? Why are you leaving us? How could you annul your covenants? And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying. Hashem's response is in this section where Hashem says, with such terrifying coldness, Vayamar Hashem Elai, in the first pasuk, Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Im yamod Moshe uShmuel lefonai, ein nafshi esa amazeh. Even were Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel Hanavi to stand in front of me, I have no interest in this people. Shalach me'al ponav v'yetzeu, let them go out, let them find the place that they go. And you're going to say, well, where should they go? Well, he says, well, wherever they're going to go, to death, to the sword, to famine, to captivity, Hashem says, wherever they want to go, they can go. I mean, Hashem is the terrifying description over here. In the section, Hashem goes on to describe, I'm going to send against them the sword to kill, the dogs to drag around the limbs, the birds to prey upon, and the animals of the earth to eat what remains. That's what Hashem says about Bnei Israel. Why is this happening? In Pasuk Dalet, he says, "Nesatim lezaava lechol mamelchos ha'aretz." I'm going to give them as a painful cry to all the nations of the world. Why? Biglal Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu, attributing it to one person. It sounds like Menashe, the terrible king of Yehud, the son of Yechizkiyahu Melech, and all the terrible things he did in his kingship. Melech Yudal Asher Asar BiYerushalayim, what he did to Yerushalayim, and he carries on to describe all the terrible things that Yerushalayim abandoned me, and therefore I'm going to scatter you across the earth. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closes this section by saying, I mean, just to listen, just to describe how terrifying and chilling this is, Otzmuli almonasov mechol yamim. There's going to be so many widows, it's going to be more than the sand of the sea, meaning to say broken families, families where somebody's not coming home. They're so plentiful. Ve'vesi lohem al'ein bachur shoded batzoharayim. I'm going to bring them tribes of wandering young men to go and pillage them. That's what's going to happen. And there's going to be confusion and pain. I mean, that's what Hashem is describing. Such terrifying things. This is Hashem's response to Yirmiyahu's request to answer. He says, I'm not answering. It's too late now. Umlala yoledes hashiva, the one who gave birth to seven, is now bereft, which the Mefarshim say refers to the northern kingdom, which had seven kings in it. That means to say that not kings, but rather kingly families. There were seven dynasties that existed in the northern kingdom, and all of them were killed. And they were the families, as the Mitzvot points out, of Yoravam and Nevat and his family, Baasha and his family, Omri and his family, which included, of course, that was Achav, Yehu and his family, that was four generations, Menachem and his family, Pekach and his family, and Hoshea ben Elah, which was really one generation. And so there were seven kings or dynasties which were wiped out in the north. So he says, that's already happened, it's coming to you now. That's what happens. Nafcha nafsha, bo shimsha bo'od yomam. The sun is setting in the middle of the day. Bo'yeshava chofera. This is really on the verge of the Babylonians entering Yerushalayim, and this is when this conversation has happened, a very terrifying conversation. One thing which is worth considering in thinking about this and just how shocking this is first of all, why is it Moshe and Shmuel who are sort of taken as the ultimate, you know, defendants of Israel, who Hashem is ignoring? in this case, would ignore in this case. So the Radak says, because they're both Nevi'im, they're both Levi'im, they're both the greatest sort of unifiers of Klal Yisrael, nonetheless they're not being answered. And Rashi points out that actually, historically speaking, Moshe did put himself on the railway tracks for Klal Yisrael when they were about to be destroyed by the Chet HaEgel. And later on, when the Philistines are about to destroy Israel, when he's trying to anoint a king, that's when Shmuel prays for Klal Yisrael, and there's a tremendous victory against them. So both of them have put themselves, where the money where their mouth is, and nonetheless, Hashem says, I won't listen to them now. When it comes to all this terrible calamity happening because of one person, that's a shocking description. Menashe was a bad person, but is it all really all him? So there happens to be a machlokes in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Beis going over to Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph about this very pasuk that we read, that it's Beglal Menashe, is because of Menashe. So what does this actually mean? So the Gemara points out that there's a debate, which is found in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, as to whether Menashe ever did teshuvah. It's ambiguous because actually it seems to be a machlokes between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Dirayamim. The Sefer Melachim gives us a very terrible ending to Menashe, a very sad ending where he never really turns around, he lived a terrible life, whereas Dvarayamim gives us a different accounting. It gives us an ending where he actually does do teshuvah and comes back and lives a very good end of his reign, although he isn't able to salvage Klal Yisrael as a whole then. Bearing that in mind, sort of these two opinions really, the fulcrum, the place where they hinge essentially, is actually this pasuk the Gemara tells us. Was because of Menashe. There's two ways of reading this pasuk. The one is saying that it's because Menashe was such a terrible leader. He inculcated such terrible policies. He inculturated Bnei Yisrael with such terrible ideas that it was irreversible. That's one way of reading it. And therefore, really, it is truly him. It was really one bad person who, sort of brought them down to such a low state. And the other way of saying it is no. It's because Mar Savar says the Gemara, Beglal Menashe de lo avad tshuva. Meaning, what happened is that that Menashe did teshuvah and no one else did. Meaning to say, Menashe, it wasn't because of Menashe, it was because of the generation who ignored the fact that he was able to turn around and no one else did. That's another way of reading it, which means to say that the culpability then essentially is on the people, not Menashe as much. Just a different way of looking at it. Very powerful thing. Okay, so now we shift sort of gears. The next part of the pasuk, perek, from really perek, pasuk Yud onwards, is a conversation which happens during the times of Yoshiyahu, when Yirmiyahu is now trying to address the people, and they keep giving him grief. And he says, it's so much grief that he says in Pasuk Yud, completely different tone of voice, but it's now exasperation. Why did my mother even give birth to me? I'm not the creditor, I'm not the debtor, and everybody's arguing with me. The creditor has arguments with his debtor, and the debtor has arguments with his creditor. I'm neither, and they're still trying to get me on both sides. All I'm trying to do is give you a message over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does Hashem say to him? Hashem says, no, don't worry. As the Mefarshim explain, what Hashem says is, don't worry, I'll protect you. You're not going to get hurt by those who are persecuting you. And when Nebuzadron, who's going to be the Sarat Abachim, the general of Nebuchadnezzar, when he comes along, he's not going to be able to affect you either. I'm going to protect you. Don't worry. Everybody else will be terribly massacred. You'll be safe at that point in time. That's what he has promised. Yirmiyahu turns around back to Hashem. The dialogue continues. He says, no, Hashem. Atoyo dato Hashem. Zochreini ufogdeini v'inokeim li merod fai. Al erech apchoti kocheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to avenge me for what's going on for me. Da'asa esi alecho cherpa. Look at the embarrassment I've borne because of you. Nimtzu dvorecho v'ochlem. Look at all the terrible things that happened. Lo yoshavti besod mesachakim ve'elois. I wasn't sitting around in the bar with these folks. I've been estranged from society. Kizami le'esani. Because you give me this message of anger. So how could it be that I go through this and you don't avenge me? It's interesting what the Malbim points out over here, the Mephoreshim points out in general, is that Yirmiyahu is not satisfied with the retribution coming when the ultimate destruction happens. He needs it to be more explicit that these people who are persecuting him, these people from his hometown and Asos, and those who don't believe him and believe he's a trouble creator, they need to see explicitly their end soon because of the terrible, terrible treatment that they've given Yirmiyahu. Very, very powerful description of, yeah, and that's what Hashem says. Hashem says to him, Komar Hashem in Pasuk Yutes, Im Toshuv Vashiv Cholofona Lefonoi Tamoid, Im Totsia Karmizolel Kifitia Yoshuvahem Elechova Tolo Toshuv Alehem. He says, you know what? I'm going to protect you. And if they do tshuva, they'll come back. And if not, I'll take them. I'm going to make you an impregnable fortress. You're going to be unhurt by them. I'm going to save you from all these terrible people. But they're going to. But I'm ultimately going to protect you or take vengeance now. Which means to say that putting these two pieces of the perek, even though that obviously these two voices are from two very different times in Yirmiyahu's life, we do see something interesting, and that is that Yirmiyahu is always on both sides of the coin. He's always, on the one hand, telling people to be better. He's always telling them to despite all their inertia, despite all their complaints and their persecutions, to do better. At the same time, he's there as the defendant, trying to beg from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen. And when you put these two pieces together, these two very different historical strands, you get the complexity and the torture of what it must have been to be a Yirmiyahu in this generation. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.